With all the good young people here today, it's ideal to talk about the path of God. And that old song that we sang, that's a fun song for our children, but it's a good song to remind us of the Creator. In the beginning, God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high. And at the top, He placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much He cared. In the middle, He had some fun. He made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. When we talk about something about our lives and the things around us, we look at creation. And how is this created? Was it just an accident? Was it just something that metabolized through the years and made a different change? Or was it the fact that there was design to it, creator of it, and here it is, and we give credit back to God who made the sky and the seas and all that in them is. What a good thing it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Our lesson today on this fifth Sunday is a lesson that I think is just a rewarding thing to my life, and I hope to yours. And that is, what did the Lord say in regard to how we live from day to day and about life itself? What did the Lord of Heaven say about life and the way we live it? Well, life came from Him. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, we all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. He's talking about living with Him, living eternally with Him. The idea of Him being the author of life for us. We find ourselves looking up to heaven. He is the one who made us in our spirit, and we should reverence Him in that respect. Talk about life, we're talking about living it. Jesus said, abundantly. I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. He was there in John 10 speaking regarding the spiritual entity of life and how that we spiritually would have life and have it abounding in our hearts. The more that we recognize Him, the more that we recognize Him in His providential care for us day to day, the more that we see and sense the presence of God. And thus we have life, but we have it more abundantly. We're talking about life. We're talking about years that come and go. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, it is noted to us, it seems, O Lord, that we pass away our years in Thy wrath. Talking about the day-to-day things, the sun that's hot on our backs out in the field, the sweat that comes from our brow as we're hoeing and working the weeds out of the garden place, all that type of thing. It seems, O Lord, we pass away all our years in Thy wrath. But then he goes on to say this, the days of a man's years may be 70. We know that's 80 years. But if by reason of strength they become 80 years, 80 years instead of 70, yet their strength is with labor and sorrow. It is soon cut off, and we fly away. Death is going to come about for some many years younger than 80 years of age. But if at 80 years of age one looks back over his lifetime, he sees that that has been soon cut off. It has been with labor and sorrow, which has taken up some of those times of his life. And he looks back to see those things that were laborious and sorrow-filled. And he realizes that that's how I've lived throughout these years of time. It is not uncommon to have someone today to talk about a person who's passed away as to refer to the fact that that individual outlived his generation. They look around to the crowd of people that are there at a funeral service and see that there are young people that are there. They see that there are co-workers that of the past that are there. But they do not see many of those same aged people that are present. And they say, you know, this person outlived his generation. He lived longer than they did. And thus he is here today. But isn't it a wonderful thing to have the knowledge that in this life that we live, if it be filled with 80 years of time and labor and sorrow, it is still a life that can be lived abundantly. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. When we look at life and we look at the Lord and the presence of the Lord as we talk with Him in prayer and we think about our daily walk with Him, we find ourselves going to rest at night, at sleep, with a prayer of thanks for the day. We find ourselves waking up in the morning and a thanks for the newness of the day and the strength to manage the day's activities. It's a good way to live in which we live in this whole world in which we do. Now we go to the question about how do we live? God tells us in His holy word many places regarding this matter. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, it is said that we ought to pray lifting up holy hands and without doubting. Holy hands, not just lifting up our physical hands. There are those who interpret this idea and do this from a standpoint of lifting up their hands, their physical hands. These are physical hands. But lifting up holy hands means that we don't have at the end of these hands the stains of sin and wrongdoing. We don't have alcohol at the end of our hands. We don't have dope and the things of it to inebriate us at the end of our hands. We don't have a clenched fist and anger at the end of our hands. We can look and have holy hands. Hands that have lifted themselves up in praise to God. Not only praise to God, but thankfulness for the Lord. Lifting up our hands in regard to how we live in a pure-hearted way of life. Pure hearts, yes. And in that way, we find ourselves living in that kind of way. Hebrews 12 and verse 14 gives us a word there that's important for our study today. It tells us that we ought to be people who are holy as we live upon this earth. That it is the case that we're to be holy. And if we are not holy, we shall not see the Lord. How are we supposed to live in life these days? We're supposed to live in keeping with God's will, with God's teaching. And in the teaching that He's given us, He says, live in summation, live a life that is holy. He that does not live a life that is holy, thinking of the spiritual sanctification, the way of purity in life, the way of thinking about life and our relationship with God, that person goes through life without thought about God, without thought about holy living, without a thought about holy prayer, without a thought about holy ideals. He says in Hebrews 12, 14, that person shall not see the Lord. What are we talking about? We're talking about being with the Lord in His presence, being with the Lord in His blessings of heaven itself, being with the Lord in the future of life where there is no things of this earth, no temporary things, no things of tears that are here on this earth to be continued with us there. How do we want to live here so that we will be there with that? We want to live a life summed up by this word, holy life. If God tells us that we ought to live a holy life, and that word holy means for us to be sanctified, pure, holy, righteous before God, we find ourselves wanting to be forgiven of those things that are not holy. They're not righteous, they're not pure, they're not good, they're not of God. And in 1 John 1, he tells us that that is the case. We can confess our sins, and he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who are these people in 1 John 1 and verse 9 that are told to confess their sins to the Lord, and he's faithful and just to forgive you? These are people a little bit earlier in that chapter, 1 John 1, that tells us we're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. When we find ourselves in fellowship with the Father and the Son, then we can live life in such a way that when we do wrong, and we're going to very likely, and we very likely are going to do it many times, but we can come back to God in repentance and prayer, as Simon did in Acts 8 at verse 20. When Peter said to him, "You repent of this, your wickedness, and pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." It went all the way to the core of his being, the heart that he had in his body. The life that he was living was an unholy way of life. If you will say this to the Lord, if you will confess your sin, if you will pray, you'll be forgiven. It was to this that Simon said to Simon Peter, "You pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've said will come upon me." He did something that a lot of us in our day and time just take for granted and pass off as though it was unimportant. But Simon understood how important it was to be forgiven by the Lord, and said, "Simon, you pray for me. Simon Peter, pray for me that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me." So what about life? And what about how to live? Well, life is said by the Lord to be that which is maybe for 80 years of time. And it's going to be filled with labor and sorrow. And it's soon cut off and we fly away. We're going to spiritually go back to be with God. We came from him spiritually. That's the passage in Hebrews 12 at verse 9. We all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. Much more reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. Our spiritual being in us is eternal. And that spiritual being came from the Father. And we'll go back to be with him. Hopefully we'll be with him as we leave this world, because we'll live the way that he told us to live. We'll live a life that's summed up by the word holy. We'll live in a holy way before him, a prayerful way before him, realizing our sins from day to day. We'll find ourselves confessing, "That was wrong for me to say, wrong for me to do, wrong for me to practice." We'll control our temperament. We'll control our foolish choices in life. We'll get stronger and stronger as a process of that. And he tells us, and he will forgive you. He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now then, one day we'll come out and we'll be with the Lord. Where will we be living there? Well, the Revelation tells about us living there. A time of song, a time of praise, a time of rejoicing. Where he tells us the former things are all passed away. There will be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no pain. The former things will be passed away. Living with God here, we recognize that our life came from him. And living the way he told us to live, we see how we can remain righteous and holy in his sight. And hereafter, the former things are all passed away. The trials and temptations that we faced in life, the challenges that we faced, for which our prayers brought about the heart of God to forgive us and to cleanse us from those things, well, that'll not be there. The former things being passed away. Now then, we're in a place where we are rejoicing eternally with him. We're satisfied to be in that relationship with him. It's a pleasure to be a part of that praise to God eternally. Some view the idea, and they'll view the idea of having a chorus in heaven where the angels sing, and songs have been written about that particular idea. When we read in the scripture about this, We read about the angels being joined with those who come above. We will be joined with them. It will be a praise of those who've lived in a lifetime here on earth of challenges as they go through life. In the 6th chapter of Revelation, we're not there yet. The question is asked by those that have suffered, and in various countries of the world, maybe even in America before we get through, there will be physical suffering and death that occurs from following the way of God. Because you believe in God, because you believe in Jesus, because you believe His right way is the way to be practiced, it may be that your life is taken. Here they are in Revelation 6 before the call of God. They cry unto Him. They say, "How long, O Lord, how long shall our blood, innocent blood, we were innocent when we were killed for serving You. How long shall our blood go unavenged on the earth?" The Lord called for angels to bring white robes to them. And these words were said: "Rest. You must rest now. For it is the case that others on earth will suffer as you have and join you here. But you are blessed, and they will be blessed. Forevermore, our living before God is a thanks for His life-giving power, for the way that He taught us to live a holy way of life. And here we are looking at the future and the place of heaven. We may be there, and we may ask of the Lord, how long? And the Lord says, "Rest here for a little time. Others will suffer as you have, but they will join you. They'll be blessed forever and ever too." What a blessing it is to be in that place where the former things will be all passed away. What a blessing. Thank you for listening and studying with us today. And those on the internet who are studying and going to your Bible and looking at these verses and seeing the promise of the Lord for our daily walk of life, if it means anything at all, we want to be people who thank Him for our lives that we live, for the opportunity of living a holy way of life in our practice, and for looking forward to that day when the former things will be passed away. Will you come to Jesus as we sing today? Come as we stand and as we sing together.
Come to Jesus, He will save you.
Though your sins have crimson glow, if you give your heart to Jesus, He will make
singing in Batesville, if you wish to be there. At 1:30 it begins, and it'll go for about an hour and 15 minutes. They cut it off at about a quarter minutes to be a part of that, so it's all right time for you.
1:30 until that time, 45 minutes later. Also, the gospel meeting at Pine Bluff, a word of prayer. If you're not able to attend over that way in Oxford, be a part of the prayers for that congregation for their good. They're up to about 55 folks up there in the congregation today. Alan Drury is working with them, and they're working in that community one by one house at a time as they do. They're finding people interested to come worship with them and be a part of that. It's a growing congregation. God bless you all. Look forward to seeing you this evening if possible. For this service today. We thank thee for thy holy word to which we can look and see about how we have come to be here on earth and what our future could be. And to that extent, we pray that we'll all apply ourselves to this lesson study today. Thank you very much for the wonderful hope that we have as we sing together of this joy and peace. And in times of sadness and sorrow in our lives and in times of challenges, help us all to look to thee for our patience and for our peace, and it will be provided. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, appreciate y'all. Alex has come back in the house. Good to be with you today.
God bless. He said he held it in long as he
good
could.
Good to be with you. He did. He's excited. Good to see you again. God bless you everywhere. I'm so glad you know all the family and friends you got around. It's a great time. God bless you. Yes, that's looking at it. Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
Good to see you. Appreciate you. Hope you've benefited and enjoyed it for all this time. God bless, man.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate you.
Good
to be with you, Chris.
Good.
I'm
good.
All right. Alex, take care. You good? Good to see you.
Well, I had to get me a dog, buddy.
Keep on keeping on. You're all right. Good to be with you today. We love you.
How you doing, Robert?
Man, good to be with you. Doing good. Good to see you. You doing all right? Good to see you today. All right.
Staying busy?
Yeah. Well, they're giving you a name, Scotty, so I give you that name too. I wish you the best, Scotty. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Good to see you all, and thank you for your name to have prayer with me. And good to see you, Amber, too. Good to be with you. Give me your name once again.
Justin.
Yes, sir. I want to call you something else. I appreciate you, Justin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to
be here.
Good to be here. Thank you, brother. Thank you. God bless you. Get that way. Good to see you. Good to see you, Blake. God bless, man. God bless you, folks. Appreciate you a lot. Good to always be with y'all. We sure wish you the best. Didn't miss Nisi. Just messed up. She hit her head, too. They took pictures to see if there's something wrong there, but didn't find that. But they found that ankle was twisted and turned, and she didn't remember it. But she passed out, and she fell, and as she did, she twisted that. I don't know if it's right or left, but it's terrible, almost a break. Of course, I always tell my football players,
okay, hope y'all are doing better now.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that too.
For 30 days of being off of that time, you know she doesn't miss.
Excuse me, huh?
No. Good to see ya. God bless you. Appreciate it. God bless you, man. Never way.
How's on to that boy about that football game Friday night?
Yeah.
I mean, they just slapped you playing is what it, all it was.
That young man just works at TJ just works hard. He does a good job with it.
And And that boy center, that sent ball center, throwed the ball over the quarterback head six times in a row.
Must have been somebody on the other side hipping him.
God bless me. Appreciate you.
Everywhere.
That's how she is.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. Right. You riding with me? Hey, you riding with me or your mama?
You gonna ride with him or ride with her?
Her?
Yeah. Good enough.
Not curious.
Well, I tell you what, we'll tell you what
that's
to do.
That's one of the female things. They don't ever know.
We tell you what you do.
No, that don't work with that. No, that don't work with that.
Somebody one day will come up and tell them.
She's back, Mom. Sorry about your mother.
Thank you. Don't you know. Don't you know. Thank you. Mm. I like
it is for a balloon.
I'm taking this for Mary Jane.
Sure.
It's some of the bread.
Good.
Cups. She wants to just have her.
Good.
She can't come.
That should be.
And I guess, I mean, it would be only her, but that's still okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. My mom and dad asked me, said, when you go away from home and everything, what does the Lord expect you to do on the Lord's Day?
Keep running straight.
Well, don't you see him through the grace of you? Study. Take the Lord's Supper. Heal. Oh.
Do it on your own.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you so much.
It's a good lesson today.
Appreciate you. I've been a part of this thing. So, Miss Jane, I like this lesson.
Thank you.